We are thankful for your presence this morning. We hope that you're here for one purpose and one purpose only, that is to worship the God of heaven in spirit and in truth. We hope that you will open your Bibles and open your minds to the things that we will discuss today in order to give us a better understanding of things that are not very well understood in the religious world at large. Today, churches across our country are filled to capacity. Many people with their new outfits, their whole family present in the house of God on this special Sunday in April. Well, it is well and it is right that people come to the house of God on the Lord's Day. But why are so many coming together today on this particular Sunday? Well, today is Easter. Everyone should go to church on Easter. Millions of people commemorate this day as the day that Jesus arose from the dead. Many consider it the most holy of all religious days that we have in this country. If you came here this morning expecting to hear a special sermon on the resurrection or on the origin of Easter, you're right and you're wrong. Because what I want to talk about today is I want to talk about Easter. What does it mean to the child of God? And is it from God or is it from men? I hope you did not come here at sunrise this morning expecting to have someone here so we were meeting at sunrise service. I want to tell you before I begin what compelled me to do this lesson on this particular Sunday. I had a call earlier this week. Somebody called and left a message on my answering machine in my office wanting to know if we had an Easter egg hunt this morning. And then I was in a body of Christ in a real nearby community, and I went there to attend a meeting, and in the vestibule, on the table, there was a box labeled for our plastic Easter eggs for our Easter egg hunt. I'm not talking about a church of denomination. I'm talking about in a body of Christ. There are churches in this area who call themselves the Lord Church who are participating in Easter egg hunts, in sunrise services, and calling this a holy day. What I want to do is I want to examine it honestly. I want to see what the Bible says about it. There are millions of people who seem to be somewhat disappointed if you tell them that you don't believe in Easter or you don't believe in Christmas, somehow that you're sacrilegious, that there's something wrong. How can anybody not believe in Christmas or in Easter? I want to put your minds at rest. I believe and know that my Lord was resurrected on the first day of the week. I know that. I have no doubt about that. And it was on a first day of the week. It was on a Sunday morning, very early. I believe that Jesus was born of a virgin, as the prophet Isaiah prophesied, Isaiah 7 and verse 14. I believe Mary was his mother in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18 through 25. I do not believe it was on December 25th. I do not believe that the Lord was resurrected on April the 20th. I believe those are things that men have added to the equation. And what I want to do today is I want to ask, do people sometimes play the part of a hypocrite? You know, there are people that will come to the house of God on this day, and we won't see them again until maybe 8 months from now, when the other second holy day, Christmas Mass, is when we will see them again. What I want to ask the question is, do you believe that God wanted you to remember his son's resurrection just one time a year? Is that the only time we should remember the Lord being resurrected from the dead? And what does the Bible say about it? Many of you do not know, but Easter is a feeling that people are compelled to come to church on this special Sunday, the most holy of all religious days, Easter sunrise services, Easter egg hunts, all these things, churches in our area, just look in your paper on Sunday morning, just look at the religious section, and look at all the religious services that are special because of this particular Sunday. What I want to ask is, does the Bible command us, is it in God's Word that we observe this special Sunday once a year as the holiday of Easter. Now, is Easter in the Bible? The answer to that is yes. It is in Acts chapter 12 and in verse number 4. In Acts chapter 12 and verse 4, the text says, so when he had been arrested, he put him in prison, delivered him to the four squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after the Passover. If you have the King James Version, instead of Passover, it says Easter. Now that was added by the translator. But the correct, in all the manuscripts, the correct word is not Easter, the correct word is Passover. Why were they keeping him in prison till after the Passover? Because it was a Jewish holy day. And they were not going to put a Jew to death on this holy day, and so they were going to wait until after the Sabbath. The early church knew nothing and celebrated no religious holiday as Easter. That word was put in by the King James translators as a favor to the king who authorized that translation. But when you look in the manuscripts and you look into the Greek manuscripts and you check them out, you will find that this word Passover is the correct word. This is a word that was translated incorrectly. Now I know that because you read Acts 12, what they were waiting for is after the Sabbath, after the Passover passed, is when they were going to take Peter and they were going to put him to death. But they weren't worried about Easter, they were worried about the Passover because the Jews held that as a holy day. And so we see that it is not in any other place in the Bible. There is not one example of the early church ever celebrating it. There is not one example of any of the apostles ever preaching about it. And there is not one example in all of Scripture of any church who commemorated it on a Sunday, a special Sunday, once a year. Now, we need to understand the terms. The word Easter is an Anglo-Saxon word that comes from this word Easter. And it is a Teutonic goddess of spring and fertility. That's who Easteress is. She is a goddess of fertility and of spring. Now that's not my opinion. Just look up the word. Just do the research about the word. That's where it comes from. We also understand that it was dedicated in the month of April. When this feast or festival was first given, it was to be dedicated in the month of April. And it was celebrated on the day of the vernal equinox. Now we'll talk about that in a moment, because that's important in the origin of Easter. Now that is the history of the word. That's what the word means. That's where it comes from. And you need to know that. If you're going to understand something, you need to understand what the word means. Where did it come from? What is its origin? That's the origin of the word Easter. That's where it came from. Now, customs of Easter. The rabbit was sacred to the German goddess Easter. It was a sacred animal. It's like the cow is in China. It was a sacred animal, and it was treated in such a way. We also understand that ancient Egyptians and Romans gave eggs intended to ensure the recipient would have a fertile and productive year. That's how the custom got started. They were given in hopes of showing that they would have a fertile and productive year. The Easter egg hunt was something that was done on the morning of the festival in trying to find the sacred gifts. They thought that the goddess of Easter would leave these gifts, and that's what they were hunting for, and that's where the concept of the Easter egg hunts came in from. Now, surely by now, you've got some questions. Surely you've got to know, well, how did all of this get to what we have today? How did all of that transpire to now we commemorate one Sunday a year as being the day that the Lord was resurrected from the dead? How did we get from here to there? Well, I'm going to try to do it very briefly and show you how we did it. I have some questions. I hope you do too. Number one is, how did this yearly observance get started? How did it get started to be a yearly observance, and who started it? How did the customs become associated with a Christian holiday? How did these customs become associated with this holiday? And should the Lord's church be involved in this holiday? Should we take part? Should we have an Easter sunrise service? Should we have an Easter egg hunt? Should we have a lesson on the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Should we be doing that on this Sunday? What does it mean to the Christian? What does it mean to you? Well, I'm going to be real honest. I'll tell you what it means to me. Chocolate Easter bunnies. That's what it means to me, because that's what I usually got. That's what it means to me. But to millions and millions of people, and to your friends, and maybe even to your relatives, they believe that this is a very special holy day. They believe that it is commanded by God to commemorate the resurrection of His Son on this particular Sunday, wherever it falls on the calendar. Now, what I want to do is I want to look at this thing from two perspectives, one historical and one biblical. And let's see if we can tie them together. Now, before I go further, let me say, if you're here and you believe that this is a religious holiday, I'm not trying to belittle what you think. And I'm not trying to make fun of you. What I'm trying to do is be honest and open to see if this is what the Bible says. Surely you want to please God. I don't believe you would be here if you didn't want to please God. But if this is a holy day, surely there is an example. Surely there is a command. Surely there is something in Scripture that teaches us that we should commemorate this day once a year. That's all I'm asking you to do, is open your Bible and be honest and follow along and see if that's what it says. Now, how about the historical perspective? Well, when the early Jews were converted, they began a practice of a Christian Passover. Now, the Passover was something that was instituted back in Exodus 12. Now, you remember the Passover. The Passover was what was instituted when the angel of death came into the land of Egypt in the death of the firstborn. God instituted the Passover by them putting the blood of the lamb on the lintel post of their home. When the angel of death came through Egypt on that night, when he saw the blood, he would pass over. And it was to always remind them of the deliverance that God gave their children, and they were to commemorate it yearly. Well, the early Christians, who some of them were Jews, just kind of took this tradition and this custom, and they passed it over, and they made it a Christian custom. They go to the death of Jesus prior to his betrayal. In Matthew 26, he institutes the Lord's Supper. What day was that he instituted the Lord's Supper? What was he doing at that feast with his disciples? They were commemorating the Passover. You see, so they tied that to Christ because that was something that he did prior to his betrayal. And the Passover was carried over by the Jewish converts to Christ as something that we should do in commemoration of his death upon the cross. Well, that was a tradition, that was a custom of the early Jews. But, historically, the festivals never were bound on the Gentiles. Why? Well, they were not Jewish. They were not Jewish in their origin, so they did not have that lineage, so that was never bound upon the Gentiles. But Passover being celebrated in observing the death of Christ, where did they get it? 1 Corinthians 5, 7, and 8. What does it say? It says, the Lord is our Passover. And so they just naturally thought that meant that we should have a special holiday or service to commemorate the death of Christ upon the cross. It was a yearly observance. But the only observance that the Bible talks about that we should do and we should commemorate is the Lord's Supper. And according to Acts 20 and verse 7, it was done on every first day of the week. As far as my study of the Old Testament, that is the only religious memorial that God's Son has ever asked for His children to keep in memorial. And the only holiday, if you want to call it that, that the Bible requires is the first day of the week, and that is a weekly observance. That is not a yearly observance. Now, of course, as time went on, you got to add some things. Well, they added Palm Sunday. What is Palm Sunday? Well, Palm Sunday is the day of Christ's triumphant entry into Jerusalem. Did that happen? Yes. In Matthew 21, remember when he came into the city on the donkey? Remember them putting the things on the ground and yelling Hosannas to the king? Yes, that did happen. But did he tell us to commemorate that Sunday as Palm Sunday? The palm leaf was what they put in his way as he came into the city. Was that the commemoration of Palm Sunday? Well, that came into being. Yes, it's a biblical thing that he came triumphantly into Jerusalem, but there is no Bible that he told us to commemorate it and to remember it once a year. And then, of course, they added Good Friday. Good Friday was the day in which he was crucified. Was he crucified on a Friday? Without a doubt. Turn to John chapter 19. Yes, he was crucified on Friday. In John 19th chapter, beginning in verse 31, therefore, because it was the preparation day, that the body should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day. Now, what does it mean, the preparation day? The preparation day is the day before the Sabbath. What day was the Sabbath? It was Saturday. So what day did the preparation day have to be? That had to be Friday. And so it is Friday. And then the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and the other who was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus, they saw that he was already dead, and they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. Was he crucified on Friday? Did he die on Friday? Without a doubt. But did God tell us to commemorate it once a year as a Good Friday? You know, I understand his death. There was a lot of good in his death, but calling it Good Friday has always struck me as being odd. It really was a bad Friday in a lot of ways. An innocent man went to the cross, but of course it's considered Good Friday because what his death made possible, and that's true. By his death, the blood was shed, and the blood gave the remedy for sin. But where is the Bible commandment that we are to commemorate that once a year as Good Friday? You know where you have to go to find it? You have to go to the catechism books, because that's where it's at. That's where Palm Sunday's at. It's not in the Bible. It's in the religious teaching of the Roman Catholic Church. It is not in the Bible. It's not there. But that led to one more day. That led to Resurrection Sunday. That is the day that he arose. Did he arise? Was he resurrected from the dead on the Lord's day? Without a doubt. Matthew 28, in verse number 1. And after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. And verse 6 says, he is not here, he is risen. And he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. There is no doubt, it is biblical, that the Lord was resurrected on the first day of the week. He came forth from the grave on Sunday. Why? Because he was going to be in the grave 3 days and three nights. Died on Friday, was resurrected on Sunday. That's true. But where is the Bible commandment to remember this special resurrection Sunday? To go, you won't get it from the Bible, but there is a place you can find it. There is a place you can find it. And that place, we're going to see in just a moment. There was a dispute. There began to be an argument in the second and third centuries over the proper date of this Resurrection Sunday. There was many dates that were thrown together, and there was great confusion over which date should be followed. Well, some of the people, the churches in Asia Minor, decided to do it on the 14th day of Nisan, and that day should be familiar to you because that was the day of the Passover. If you go back to Exodus, you'll see that that is the day of the Passover. So the churches in Asia Minor, they began to practice it on the 14th day of Nisan in commemoration with the Passover. Well, others observed the days the events took place. You see, the 14th day of Nisan might not always fall on the first day of the week. It might fall on a Monday or a Saturday or some other day. And so the others observed it on the day the events took place. They'll observe Good Friday on Friday. They'll observe the resurrection on Sunday and Palm Sunday on Sunday. You see, they'll do it on the days. So there's great confusion. There's no uniformity here. And so there was a great controversy. Somebody's got to fix this. Somebody, we got to get uniform. We got to all get together. Well, they could have all been together if they just opened the Bible. They opened the Bible, the controversy would have been ended because there was no command to keep it. But somebody did settle the matter. It was settled by the Council of Nicea in 325 AD. This council took the steps to settle the difference. The council unanimously decided that the resurrection was going to be celebrated by all churches on the same Sunday. Now, how were they going to do that? The churches were going to celebrate on the same Sunday. They were going to put this difference and this dispute aside. And so what they determined was to allow the church leaders in Alexandria to determine which Sunday that would be. The leaders of the churches of Alexandria were going to determine which Sunday all the churches were going to commemorate the resurrection of the Lord. By the 7th century, this began to be uniform. But the time agreed upon the first Sunday follow the full moon after the vernal equinox. That's how they came up with that particular Sunday. Later on, this allowed for variation. Now, do you wonder why it doesn't always fall on the same Sunday? Today it's April 20th. It wasn't last year. And it won't be next year. It will be between these days. Why? Because that's what the Council of Nisan decided. It would be between these dates after the full moon, after the vernal equinox. Whatever Sunday that comes on, whatever Saturday the next day falls on, that is the day of Easter. Now, who determined that? The Council of Nisan. Was it God? Was it the apostles? Was it an inspired writer? No, it was a group and a council of men of the Roman Catholic faith who determined that it would be between these days. And you will never see Easter past April 25th. And the earliest that it will be is March 22nd. Matter of fact, about 3 years ago, we had it on March the 22nd. Why? Because it has to be on this particular Sunday. That's uniform. And you know what? You just check your calendars. It'll always say the same Sunday. Every year. It just alternates. But it will always be a Sunday between those dates. Now, that's how it got started historically. But now, let's look at the second issue. Let's look at the biblical perspective of this issue. Feast days. I want you to take your Bibles, and I want you to turn to Galatians chapter 4, and I want you to look at the writing of the Apostle Peter to the churches of Galatia. In verse 8 of chapter 4, it says, "But then indeed, when you did not know God, you served those gods which were by nature not gods. But now after you have known God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements which you desired again to be in bondage? You observe days and months and seasons and years. I am afraid for you, lest I have labored in vain." What did he say? He said they had returned to the beggarly elements which they left. What were the beggarly elements that they returned to? The keeping of days, of months, of seasons, and years religiously. Paul condemns them for doing it. Why? Because he, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, tells them it was not authorized. There was a problem even in the early church. Then you come over to Galatians 5 and verse 4. It says, "You that have become estranged from Christ, you attempt to be justified by the law, you have fallen from grace. It is true by the law that you kept the Passover, you kept the Feast of Jubilee, that you kept the day of Pentecost, the Feast of First Week, the Feast of Tabernacles. That is true under the old law. But the old law was nailed to the cross," Colossians 2 and verse 14. "And with that death on the cross came the end to feast days, to festivals, to holy days. Those days are past. We don't have any special holy day today. The only holy day that God has authorized in Scripture is Sunday, the Lord's Day." But then this was also a problem in the church in Colossae. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 16 and 17, 16 and 17 of Colossians 2, it says, "So let no one judge you in food or in drink, or regarding a festival or new moons or Sabbath, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ." You know what Paul says here? He says, yes, they did those things, but they were a shadow. They were not the substance. The substance came in Christ. And don't let anybody judge you in these certain days. And notice what he says of certain Sabbaths. Why? Why do you not let anybody judge you regarding festivals or new moons or Sabbath? What does Easter follow? The new moon. He says, don't let anybody judge you in those matters. Why? Because you're not under that system anymore. And so he tells them they don't have to keep certain days and festivals because it's not required under the law of Christ. Where is the substance? It's in Christ. Where was the foreshadowing? It was in the law. But you know what? The Jews always had a problem about this. In Acts chapter 15, the first problem that came in the early church was the Jews trying to bind circumcision upon the Gentiles. They tried to bring this Old Testament requirement, and they tried to bind it on the Gentile convert. But after having a discussion with Peter and James and the elders in Jerusalem and other apostles, it says in verse 24, we gave no such commandment. What does that mean? We did not authorize it. Nowhere did we authorize that in order to obtain salvation that you had to be circumcised. Neither is there any passage in Scripture that authorizes Easter, Christmas, any other holy day. Because he gave no such commandment. You know what that means? It means the Bible is silent about it. What does that mean? If the Bible is silent about it, that means that we don't have the right to step in and answer God's silence. We've got to respect his silence. Now, the Lord's resurrection. I want you to understand that that is an important event in the Bible. The Bible tells us in Matthew 28 that the women came to the grave on the first day of the week to finish the preparation of the body, and they found the stone rolled away, and they found the slab empty, and they found the grave clothes folded on the slab. He was not there. It was the dawn of the first day of the week. That indeed is a biblical truth. He was resurrected on the first day of the week. The Bible also reaffirms that in Luke's account in chapter 24 and verses 1 through 11. It also is reaffirmed in John 2. Do you remember when he was talking to the Pharisees and they were talking about the temple? And he made the statement, destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up. Now they ridiculed him. They said it took 46 years for Herod to build that temple. How are you going to destroy it and build it up in 3 days? But verse 21 says he was not talking about the temple. He was talking about his body. What was he talking about? He's talking about his resurrection. They were going to destroy this temple. They were going to destroy his body. But in 3 days, he was going to raise it up. The Bible also tells us in John chapter 20, the account of John of his resurrection from the dead. Remember the two men that were walking, and Jesus appears to them? And they said, well, what are you talking about? Where have you been? Well, the Lord, he was the one that said he was the Christ. He was crucified, and that was 3 days ago. What was he telling them? He told them that it was he. He foretold his own resurrection. How many times did he tell the disciples, it is prophesied, it is his purpose, that I would be betrayed, that I would be murdered and die, but on the third day I will raise. How many times did he tell them? Go and read the gospel account. He told them on 3 different occasions that he would rise from the dead, that the grave would not take him. But you know what? The Old Testament told us that too. Psalm 16, verse 8 through 10, what did David say? David said that his body would not see corruption. What does that mean? It would not decay. It would not return into dust. Why? Because it wasn't going to stay there. You see, all of this is according to prophecy. The Lord's resurrection is a known fact. It indeed happened. And we ought to be greatly rejoicing that it happened. Because it gives us hope, according to 1 Peter 1, verse number 3. The importance of the Lord's resurrection. In Romans chapter 1, what is the importance of his resurrection? The importance of the Lord's resurrection is God's explanation point that Jesus was his son. Verse 4 says, and being declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection of the dead. You know what? You know what he did when he overcame the grave? He put to silence every skeptic that denied that he was the Son of God. He put them to silence. That declared it with an explanation point from the Father above, this is my Son. That was an important thing. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, how important is the resurrection of Christ? Well, I'll tell you what, it means everything to your faith. According to verse 12 of this account, it says, now if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some of you say that there is no resurrection from the dead? But there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then your preaching is empty and your faith is empty. Yes, if we found to be false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom if he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise, for if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile and you are still in your sin. You know what it says? If Christ is not resurrected from the dead, we are wasting our time being here. You have no need to be here. I have no need to be in Christ because I'm still in my sin. If Jesus didn't overcome the grave, then the apostles are liars. They were false witnesses and he is still in that tomb. But you know, all of that's a moot point. because he was resurrected on the first day. And that's why my faith is not futile. That's why my preaching is not empty. It's because it has power behind it, because he was resurrected from the dead. The Bible says in 1 Peter 1 and verse 3, we discussed this in our class in the back this morning. In 1 Peter 1 and verse 3, it said, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten," what does that mean? Generate us, what? To a living hope, an active hope, one that is real, through the resurrection of what? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ of the dead. If Jesus Christ is not resurrection, you have a dead hope. You don't believe that, do you? You have a living hope. Why? Because you know that he was resurrected from the dead. The Bible says in Hebrews 2, verse 14 and 15, that resurrection brought something to us. What did it give us? It gave us the assurance of something. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, "Insomuch then that the children have become partakers of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release them, those who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." What did he do? He destroyed the Satan's trump card. You see, Satan can't hang death over you anymore. Oh yes, he by his ways and by his means, he did have Jesus put to death, that's true. But he didn't stay dead. He came forth from the grave, and the fact that he came forth from the grave, it defeated death. That was Satan's trump card over you. He always threatened you with death. You know, there's death, there's no hope of death. Oh yes, there is. If Jesus Christ wasn't resurrected to death, we don't have any hope of overcoming the grave. Why do you and I believe that when we die that that's not the end? We know that's not the end. Why do we know that? Because we know that Jesus overcame death to defeat the works of Satan. Yes, it's important. Don't misunderstand that we're trying to minimize the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We're not. It's an important event. It is crucial to our faith. It is crucial to our hope in Christ. It is crucial for us to know that we will gain heaven. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, we have no hope of eternal life. Let's not minimize. I'm not trying to minimize the resurrection of Christ. Our hope of his overcoming the grave is our hope. We need to understand that's not the issue. The issue is not whether he was resurrected on a Sunday. The issue is, did he tell us to commemorate a special Sunday to remember that death? That is the issue. Do not say that we do not believe in the resurrection of Christ, because that is not being honest. That is not being accurate. The issue is not whether he was resurrected on a Sunday. The issue is not whether he was resurrected. The issue is not whether we believe in the resurrection. The issue is, did he tell us to commemorate a yearly observance that we call Easter? Is that biblical? And the answer is absolutely not. There is not one passage of Scripture, by approved example, by command, by necessary inference, that ever told us to commemorate this day as a religious, special, holy day. It is not in Scripture. Now, it is a human tradition. It is a human tradition. In Mark 7, Jesus talks much about human tradition. Listen to the words. Don't take my word for it. Listen to Jesus himself. In Luke, Mark 7, and verse 7 and 8. "And in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrine the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men." Now what does he mean? They laid aside the commandment of God, and they accepted in his place the tradition of men. Matthew says the same thing in Matthew 15, 8, 9. Here's what men did. They laid aside what God said about it, and what they did is they took the tradition of man and they made a religious holy day. They left the commandment of God and they accepted the tradition of man. Now, human tradition or truth? That's the question. We must ask, did God authorize this day or did men authorize it? We looked at the origin of where it came from. The honest person would have to say it was originated by man. It was decided by a council of men in 325 AD. Every inference of it is from the teachings of men in their writings and in their books. How can we say that it came from God when we can find no evidence of it in God's book? one Sunday yearly to remember him overcoming the grave, I hope you remember him more than once a year. It means everything to your faith. It means everything to your hope in Christ. It means everything to whether you're going to gain heaven. And it means everything of whether death is the end of things. You know, we've lost some good people over the last few weeks here. But you know what? There's a comfort in it, knowing that the grave is not the end. It's not the end. It's a transition to a better place. But why do I believe that? I believe that because my Lord overcame the grave. And I hope I remember it more than one time a year. Easter Sunday. Is it from God or is it from man? I must reach the conclusion that it is a tradition of men. It is not a commandment of God. Yearly observance of the resurrection of Christ is a tradition of man. It was not commanded by God. It was not authorized by God. No church ever commemorated it. No apostle ever taught it. No preacher ever preached it. And no example of the Bible is forthcoming. So I must reach the conclusion that it is not commanded by God and it is a tradition of man. Please take your psalm books out and turn to the song that's been selected. Now, I don't want the little kids to go away thinking that Keith is against the Easter Bunny. And families get together on Easter, get together as a family. Little kids have Easter egg hunts, they have Easter baskets. That's a conviction of your conscience. That is an individual issue that's between you and your family, and there's nothing wrong with that. But you cannot place any religious significance on this day as a religious holy day. Because if you do, then you have fallen into the trap that the world has fallen into. That there are special days that God commands us to keep. There is one. It's this day. And in a few moments, we're going to take of this Lord's Supper. But if you're visiting with us, I don't want you to think that we're doing that because it's Easter. We're doing it because it's the first day of the week. And if you come back next Lord's Day, you'll see that supper laying there just like it is now because we do it every first day of the week. Why? Because the first day of the week comes around every week. Acts 20 verse 7 said the disciples came together to break bread on the first day of the week. There are 52 first days of the week. There are 52 times that we remember the Lord's death. Do not believe that we're trying to minimize the resurrection of our Lord. We're not. We absolutely believe it. We preach it. And we rejoice in it. But ladies and gentlemen, I do not remember it just one time a year. It means a lot more to me than that. And I hope it means a lot more to you than that. This is a day that has been designed by men, not by God. Do not replace any religious significance on it. If you do, you're following traditions of men and not the commandment of God. Maybe you're wondering, what's the big deal? What does it make difference if I celebrate as a religious day or not? If you buy into that, what else will you buy into? If you don't have to have God's authority to do it, you can do other things that you don't have to have God's authority for. And just by the way, if you just think this is a problem in denominational churches, it's not. It's even a problem in the Lord's church. I have a flyer in my library, in my office, in my files, of a gospel preacher who went to a denominational sunrise Easter service and played the guitar at their sunrise service about 3 years ago in Nashville, Tennessee. Do not tell me that this does not affect us, because it does. Don't be swept away by tradition. All we are authorized to do by God is to keep His will. Open your Bible, examine it. I do not want you to take my word for anything I said this morning. I gave you the passages. I honestly told you the origin of where this came from, how it got started. And I don't want you to take my word for it. You can all go to any library, go to any encyclopedia, go to any religious bookstore, and you'll get the same information that I just gave you. It's on display for anybody who cares to look. But you know what millions of people today believe? they believe that this is a holiday that is authorized in this book. I'm just showing you that it's not. Why is that important? Millions of people today believe all you need to do to accept Jesus Christ is accept him as your personal Savior. Those same people believe that, and they believe it for the same reason, because they won't look in here. See, the Bible says that you got to hear the word to believe it. Romans 10:17. Tells you got to repent, Acts 2:38. Tells you got to confess him before men, Romans 10:9-10. Tells you to be baptized for the remission of your sins, Acts 2:38. That's what the Bible says. The world says the mourner's bench, pray through. Jesus is my personal Savior, grace only, faith only. Why do they believe it? That's not what the book says. They got the same problem that those who celebrate Easter as a religious holiday, they don't look in the book. Just look in the book. That's what the book says. Ladies and gentlemen, why did God give us the Bible if we don't need to read it? If we don't need to study it, if we don't need to practice it? Brethren, there's a reason why God left these instructions. He wanted us to please him, and he gave us the design and the pattern to do so. If you're not a Christian, that's what you need to do. If you are a Christian, you've not lived your life in an acceptable way, you need to repent, and you need to pray to God and ask him to forgive you. Why? Because that's what the Bible says. Acts 8:22-24. That's what the Bible says. If we can help you make your life right with God this morning, we bid you come forward as together we stand.